Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police, and the best news I probably can bring you, all of you, for the first time in probably about a month, we're back in the pub. Kevin O'Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, we are, aren't we? Yeah.
And we are back in the pub. So, you know, all normal life has been resumed. We haven't quite got Pooch with us, so we're not going to film anything. So we're just going to record this audio podcast for you. But it's been another great week in the dangerous world of international journalism, Kev.
Fucking has, yeah.
I mean, we've only just left work where we've been watching Dominic Cummings having all of his WhatsApp messages read out to him by this fucking inquisitor, in which the highlight for me, anyway, was that he called a lot of people fuck pigs, cunts, and morons.
Yeah, he called
him right up at Van Appel Street, right?
He called ministers of the realm, important people in the cabinet, a bunch of fuck pig morons,
yes,
cunts,
right,
twats, you name it.
He actually went up.
He was like, "Is that a one-man edition of the Thought Police?"
Yeah, he definitely been listening to the Thought Police. He definitely went up in my estimation. But I mean, even more surprisingly, I suppose, well, maybe not surprisingly, was the fact that he said, "You know what? Most of these cabinet ministers aren't making fucking decisions. They basically leave it all to the fucking officials and the civil servants." And the other bit I liked was when he said, "We shouldn't keep that fucking cunt Matt Hancock in the job any longer. He's a proven liar."
Yeah, well, everybody knows that.
He was right about
that's
that
a
shit.
Very good point. But it is extraordinary. I mean, like yourself, probably, Mike, I've been, ever since this stupid inquiry started, I've been saying, what's the fucking point of it?
Yeah.
There's only one thing that the public want this inquiry to look into.
Yeah.
Should we have lockdown? And will we have a lockdown again? The answer
right.
to both those questions should be no.
Right.
No,
well,
we
I have
should
to say,
not.
Even though obviously the lefties and the fucking COVID fucking, you know, warriors are all going, oh, it's terrible. You know, I see the Mirror all over again saying that the government are a fucking waste of space. Well, yes, up to a point. But also, I was quite encouraged by Boris Johnson saying things like, well, surely if all the people who are dying are over the age of 80, you know, are we really right to lock everything down and shut everything up? To save the lives of some people who are probably going to die anyway.
Well,
and I know that's an unpopular view out there, but, you know, it is pragmatic.
Yeah, and bearing in mind that the whole fucking farce of this inquiry is it is not within its remit to look into whether or not we should have locked down or whether or not we should do it in the future.
Oh, okay.
That is not doing it.
So it's not going to decide that, then?
No, it's not. That's not within its remit. The only thing that they're discussing is whether or not they locked down early enough or for long enough. So the premise that the lockdowns were the correct thing to do remains unchallenged.
Right.
Well, the lockdowns were not the right thing to do. They were a fucking disaster and we're still suffering from it for now.
Well, I don't think we'll ever recover because so many people now, as I've said before, are completely and utterly not trained in going to work. They don't want to go to work. They don't feel like they should go to work. They don't feel like they should even...
Because they got paid for three fucking years.
And they don't even feel like they should even feel any sort of discomfort. You know, when you hear people saying, oh, I don't want to get on the train, it's really busy and it's hot and sweaty and horrible. I'd rather just stay
working
at home.
Work-life balance.
I mean, you know, that was never a fucking choice in our day, was it?
No. But to go back to what you said about Boris... You're right about Boris. He kicked off, along with Cummings, being the still small voices of calm, being sensible. They took the view that we should sort of ride the COVID crisis out, the COVID virus, and go with herd immunity. So people would get it.
Right.
Basically, only the old would die. And after a certain amount of period, the entire population would have herd immunity and we'd move on. That's sort of what Sweden did.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted to do. And then in came the bonking boffin, that Professor Twat.
Neil Ferguson.
Professor Twat.
Very
Ferguson.
Keen on German models.
Yeah, so he showed while...
although she wasn't really a model.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. While,
not of a woman, anyway.
No. Yeah, he broke his own fucking rules, screwing some German woman in
married,
the middle
right?
of lockdown so he can fuck off for
exactly.
a start. But anyway...
Pants down.
Anyway, while... Cummings and Johnson were taking this sensible line. Let's not lock down. Let's do herd immunity. In comes the bonking boffin. Say, have a look at my little model. 500,000 going to die. At that point, both Johnson and Cummings were totally spooked. And that's why we locked down.
But also, wasn't the spooking also taking place at the time when he fucked off to Barnard Castle? Because what happened was... He became convinced then that this was now more dangerous than he
thought. Yeah, this is after Ferguson.
And then did his wife not get it or something?
Yeah,
or they
he got very spooked.
Yeah,
by COVID.
But because I mean, I said this today on the show. who can forget that fucking amazing piece of footage of him literally running out of fucking Downing Street, running down the street to get into his car, to get home, to take his wife, to get his wife and his kid the fuck out of London up to Barnard Castle.
Yeah, totally spooked both of them. So
never seen anything like it. Because the thing is, that kind of image, right? If you're trying to convince the public that everything's fine, and they see you fucking doing a runner, what do you think they're going to think then?
Yeah. So they started off right, and then they got it wrong, like everyone else.
Right.
This COVID inquiry, if it's revealing anything,
mm-hmm.
I was saying until today, I could not see the point of it at all. Just a lot of money to be made by a bunch of lawyers.
Yeah.
But I think what's emerged today in particular with Cummings' appearance, and there will be more, is just the shambles.
Yeah.
The fucking shambles of Downing Street. The absolute fucking mess of it. Boris Johnson couldn't make a decision to save his arse. His decision was whoever he last spoke to. So yes. They called him the shopping trolley.
Right.
No department could talk to another department. They didn't know what the hell the right arm didn't know what the left arm was doing. It was an absolute fucking mess. And you got Lee Kane, head of communications.
He seems to swear quite a lot as well.
Yeah,
did you know him at the Mirror? You didn't know him.
I didn't know him, but he used to dress up as a chicken to pursue.
David
Cameron.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. David Cameron. While David Cameron was on the election trail, Lee Kane used to dress up as a chicken to fucking up and do pictures.
That's terrible.
So that's Lee Kane.
Yeah, with a great career.
Yeah. Now he's a headless chicken.
Right.
See what I did there? But he basically came out and said. He did say Boris Johnson was not the right Prime Minister for the COVID crisis.
No, I think he's absolutely right, because, again, something I came up with and said the other day was that, you know, when all of that shit happened, when 2019 happened, when the election happened and the massive majority that Boris got, I was actually quite optimistic in January of 2020, thinking, do you know what, I think this is going to be great. Right. I thought it was going to be great for our station, thought it was going to be great for work purposes, for personal purposes, that we're going to leave the fucking European Union. Boris is going to be bestriding, you know, the continent and the country like some kind of behemoth. And then suddenly COVID happened and it all turned to some fucking shit. And he was clearly not the right guy to be in charge when something like that was going on.
Yeah, because he's a well-known sort of shambolic person.
Yeah.
And they say that, you know, administrations, you know, in
well, people
10.
Say, you know, if you look at his desk... That'll give you a pretty good impression. Yeah, his fucking desk was a shambles.
So, he was editor of The Spectator. It was a shambles. Everything he's ever run has been a mess. Because that's the kind of person he is. That doesn't necessarily mean he's totally useless.
No, no.
But he was totally fucking useless in the COVID crisis.
A bit like some other politicians in the past. He was very good at winning elections. You know, he's always been very good at winning elections. And the thing is, it's only really now... Is that a cat scratching something?
It's a cat. Suddenly so there's a cat just came in the room. It's
scratching the fucking furniture. Yeah, many thanks. Yeah. But you know how some politicians are just really good at winning elections, but they can't fucking do anything once they're in.
Yeah, and he's definitely one of them. A total mess. Really frightening. We now know, because of Isabel Oakeshott's story, the WhatsApp files... they didn't follow the science. Right. Mainly, they followed Nicholas.
Well, there wasn't any fucking science.
Maybe they followed Nicola Sturgeon. Their big question was, what's Nicola doing? Right. Oh, she's taking 6 inches off the bottom of classroom doors in schools. We better do that.
Right.
Just following.
Thank God they didn't actually do that. But yeah, I mean, she was constantly trying to get out ahead of them, wasn't she, to prove that somehow they were
behind. They were constantly trying to keep up.
Right. Although it seems as though they've got an even bigger problem in Scotland with their WhatsApp messages, because they've all been fucking. Deleted, or, you know, nobody's got any. Apparently, they've all gone, disappeared, and not even being made available to this particular COVID inquiry.
Well, what Isabel says about so she's got more than a million WhatsApp messages. Between,
what are you eating, by the way?
It's Halloween gummy.
Halloween gummies, for fuck's sake! It is Happy Halloween, by the way.
Happy Halloween
that
Day at the moment.
Yeah.
So she says. So she got like a million WhatsApps between various cabinet ministers, and prime minister, and everything. All of March, this was Matt Hancock's phone, of course, because she was helping him write his lockdown diaries book that really sold at least 100 copies.
Yeah.
And she says all of March, 2021, would it be? Gone. Right. And she says she's pretty convinced because that was.
when they were talking about should they have what lockdowns or not. So the lockdown debate was censored.
Right. And that's the problem, isn't it? Because we'll never know what some of the things were that were said. We'll never know why those things are not available, because it could be anything, couldn't it?
I mean, mainly, I suspect they're embarrassed by their arguments about lockdown, particularly those who probably said, we're going to lock down forever. And
well, they seem to have spent an awful lot of time bad-mouthing each other. I mean, if they're not embarrassed by the stuff that's already out there, what the fuck? I mean, how much more embarrassing could it be?
Yeah, but
calling each other cunts and fuckwits and fucking fuckpigs.
Well, if only...
You know, not a very diplomatic language,
fuck
is it?
Pig fuckpigs. Nice name.
Yeah.
Fuck pig moron.
I mean, you'd like to think if you get to the pinnacle of political life in Britain, those are not the conversations that you'd be having.
Yeah. Look, if you were a politician, a bit like Matt Hancock, I suppose, but if you were one of these lockdown fanatics, they've got lockdown, no politician's going to want to pin their colours to that mask anymore.
No.
Because we can see the lockdowns have had a catastrophic effect.
But can you genuinely say, honestly, with your hand on your heart, that if we were to get another fucking... one of these, you know, pandemics on the way, because you know the Chris Whitties of this world would fucking love it. You know that the Sage people would love it, and they'd all be going back to the fucking lockdown, wearing masks. There's already places around the country where people have been told to wear masks to go to a hospital.
I don't think that I'd be very surprised if we locked down again, because
I mean, I don't think the people would take it, but you know as well as I do, there are loads of people who fucking loved it and would do it again.
But I think the majority wouldn't like it, and therefore. I think that the government would have a lot of trouble locking us down. And also, you know, as I always said, the lockdowns worked, they stopped the progress of the
fucking
virus.
Bollocks.
Well, they didn't. It's obvious.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we first did, we locked down three times, didn't we? The first time for a month or whatever it was. Then we came out of lockdown. So it did stop.
We reopened the pubs,
in
July.
Yeah, that's right. It stopped the progress of the virus because no one was going out, no one was contacting.
Yeah.
Each other. As soon as we came out of lockdown, a week later, the virus was up and running and probably worse than it was before. Mm. So then we had to lock down again. Think about it. I keep saying this. If you lock down and then you unlock down, and then a month later you have to lock down again, it proves the first lockdown didn't work.
Yeah. Well, except you'll always get people who will say it doesn't prove that. What it proves is that you shouldn't have lifted it. Because when you lifted it, that was when the problem happened.
Yeah, but you can't lock down for fucking ever.
No, I know that. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying this is what they will say.
Yeah, well,
reason that these fuckwits will always have an argument is that they will always say that they did what was required, because if it hadn't been for the lockdowns, the numbers of deaths would have been a lot worse.
It's horseshit. But
I know.
It simply isn't true, because what happened was, you have a real dip in the number of deaths. Mm. And then after a week, when everybody's out of lockdown, the number of deaths would go straight back to where they were before.
Right.
So in the long run, most scientists have accepted that lockdowns did not keep the death rate down.
No. Well, I mean,
they temporarily reduced them.
Well, they can't have it both ways, right? But the people who are the enemies of Boris Johnson and the enemies of those of us who think that lockdowns were unnecessary will always say that if it hadn't been for the recklessness of Boris Johnson and the recklessness of the government, not as many people would have died. Because somebody today, I think it was, projected the number of COVID deaths onto Barnard Castle's wall, you know, and it's something like 230,000. Now, I have no fucking idea whether the 230,000 people who died of COVID, supposedly, and some of them we know didn't die of fucking COVID anyway, they just said they did, right? Yeah. I have no way of knowing whether those people died as a result of the fucking lockdown or not, because you can't really prove it one way or the other, can you?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But you cannot, over the long term, you can take all the lockdowns, look at the death rate, a big dip while we were locked down, big dip for about a week after we came out of lockdown, but the more people associate with each other, eat out to help out.
I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, the more people started getting COVID again, and in the long run,
I fucking loved it when they reduced the VAT. I thought it was brilliant.
But they never it never reduced the death rate. So the scandal of the COVID inquiry is it is not sitting in judgment as to whether or not we should have locked down. It is only trying to judge whether we locked down early enough or long enough.
Yeah.
So the efficacy of lockdowns is not being questioned. It's not being questioned.
Well, you know,
and it should be.
Yeah, but as you say, they're not doing it in the inquiry, right? at the end of the day, if you look at, say, America, which is a much easier place to begin to kind of compare and contrast, you look at Florida and you look at California and you see the difference, there isn't really very much difference, because I happen to think, and I'm willing to be proved wrong here, but I don't know if anybody can prove me wrong, I don't think that any of the lockdowns made any fucking difference.
No, I don't. I agree with you.
Because Florida didn't lock down at all. And their death rate was no worse than anywhere else in the country.
Sweden's death rate was much better than ours, and they didn't lock down.
The one thing that we do know about Florida as well is that COVID spread in America from Florida, because if you remember, it spread during spring break. Mm-hmm. And you know, spring break in America is this mad fucking time when they all go and do some horrendous things. By the way, some of the things they now do, drinking games, I've seen them on the beaches of Florida, where people are literally drinking out of each other's arseholes and stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty disgusting.
Welcome
anyway,
it's
the American dream. Well, they were doing all that shit, right? And then they all got on planes at the end of spring break and flew literally to every other state in America and gave them all COVID.
Yeah, so they got COVID.
And that's how it happened.
So they got COVID out of each other's arseholes.
Exactly,
so
right.
The fuckers, right.
Yeah, via a vodka drink of some description.
Sweden, the lowest death rate in Europe. Yeah. You know, it's the only country that didn't lock down. Yeah. Make of that what you
want. I know.
Should we talk about my... brilliant reporting.
I want to know, because I think what you've done is you've managed to somehow morph yourself back into your Fleet Street days, where the only good story was one you could cover from a cocktail bar. Right? And wherever you fucking went in the world, and I'm not saying you personally, but wherever I went in the world, you would want to fucking find a great bar, and basically that was your base for wherever you were fucking
great,
doing
great
anything else.
Great
restaurants, great bars, you know, good fucking receipts that you can put in at the end of the day. You've somehow managed to cover the Free Palestine marches. By the way, I should tell you there's a new one in Trafalgar Square coming up this week, and I can recommend to you if you like.
It's like which bar?
There's quite a nice Hilton there called the Trafalgar, because it's right on the corner of Trafalgar Square.
Yeah.
I used to stay there when I used to come down for the Mirror.
Yeah.
And they've got a really nice rooftop bar there, so you could spy on the Free Palestine.
That'd be a good vantage point.
From up on the rooftop bar. Because for the last 2 weeks, what you've done is you've found the most expensive bar in fucking town. And reported
in. Well, the first week, I think we talked about this last week, I went down to Bond Street to do some shopping. I was looking for a jacket.
Have you managed to get a jacket yet?
I got two shirts, so I didn't get a jacket, which was just one of the disappointments of that visit. Anyway, I went down with Henrietta and my wife, and we had to fucking fight our way through the Palestinian protest. 100,000.
I mean, I can see you doing it. I can't really see.
Well, I sort of put her head under my arm and said, "Come on,
dragging
us
through the crowds."
Anyway, when we got, I went and then didn't buy a jacket, which pissed me off. So we came back to Piccadilly, and I said, "Let's get a drink." So we dived into the Ritz and went to the Rivoli bar. Two drinks, one Bloody Mary, one martini, vodka martini. One that was 50 quid. So we gave up on that and then went home. Anyway, so this Saturday, I was down at an event near Westminster. I was speaking at a thing called the Battle of Ideas.
Oh, yeah, how did that go? Hey, by the way, bit of a fucking bone to pick with you about that. Because, I mean, last year, you and I did a podcast.
Well, they just
Why didn't they fucking ask us this year?
I don't know. They just asked me to come. Anyway,
did anyone say, where's Mike?
No, I should have.
No.
I just sort of said,
nobody
yeah.
fucking asked about me.
Yeah.
It's fucking nice.
What was good though last week, we did a really good broadcast from there.
Well, it was really good because we had
Frank Ferrady and Sarah Fillmore.
And Sarah Fillmore, who was really good.
Yeah.
We had quite a good row actually.
She was on my panel.
What was your subject?
It was how far should protests go?
Right.
You know,
and what did you say? As far as the nearest cocktail bar?
Yeah, as far as. I said, protest and go fuck it. So.
Yeah, right.
No, what I actually said, I'm digressing, but what I actually said is, you've got the right to protest about what you like, but protest can only go so far as it does not disrupt the lives of others.
Well,
once you fucking start fucking up my life,
that is
presupposing that what you think is important is more important than what I think is important.
But this was my point of the weekend as well about these fucking protests, because I bizarrely actually got a fucking answer from a Twitter account run by the Metropolitan Police, because I said, look, this is now no longer simply to be described as you know, quiet protesting or non-violent protesting or, you know, non-disruptive protesting, because these people are now taking over central London every fucking week. They're going to do it again this Saturday,
right? Of course they are.
And it's going to get all bigger and bigger and bigger. And as long as the police do fuck all about it, they'll just keep doing it.
Of course they will. They don't do anything about it. Anyway, so I made this speech and that finished about 1:30. There's a discussion as well.
Yeah.
So I was with Henrietta again, and I said, well, there's this new hotel, Raffles War Room Hotel.
Yes, I've seen...
Used to be the War Rooms on...
so is that, like, off Whitehall, then?
No, it's on Whitehall. Literally,
oh, is it?
Literally across from Horse Guards.
Oh, okay.
So...
Oh, I know, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the... It used to be the War Rooms. It's like now, apparently, the biggest hotel in Britain or something.
Yeah.
All the rooms are about £2,000.
It's a big building, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, so I said...
so it's just around the corner from the National Liberal Club, then?
Yeah, I guess so. So... well, up towards Trafalgar Square. Mm. So anyway, we walked up Whitehall, which is all cordoned off.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. They're all little pocket demonstrations.
But that's the thing. They've shut off most of fucking London.
Well, they've shut that. Like, yeah. Anyway, so we walk up. So we walked up towards the new hotel.
Yeah.
And literally, as we got there, it's about like 100 yards short of Trafalgar Square.
Mm.
Fucking round the corner. Because it came like it was like the peasants' revolt, you know, pitchforks in the air, fucking great wall of Palestinian flags, and that was the beginning of the march. So it came round, and we got to the hotel just as it was reaching us. So we just cut off into that and went to the cocktail bar and sat there watching it go past for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
and we had four drinks, two each. I'll tell you the price in a minute. Still trying to get over it.
Busy sort of bar, was it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a strange time to be drinking cocktails, but what the fuck? It was
life's too short.
Anyway, so an hour and a half later, this march was still inexorably snaking past.
And that tells you how many people.
Yeah.
And you said more people.
Yeah,
than
then we came out. Then we came out. I said, right, let's go home. So we came out of the cocktail bar. I was thinking, oh, we'll see the tail end of the march.
Right.
Fuck off. Fucking Trafalgar Square. You could not move. They were... they said 70,000. I reckon 170,000. Fucking millions of people there. So we made out... We finally got through them. And they're all shouting jihad and from the river to the sea. Free Palestine.
Which is effectively speaking, according to the government anyway, a fucking anti-Semitic chant.
Well, it is. From the river to the sea means get rid of Israel so the Palestinians can live between the River Jordan and
it's
the Mediterranean.
It's an ethnic cleansing claim.
It is. That's get rid of Israelis, get rid of Jews. So loads of that, loads of jihad. Yeah. Anyway, to go back to... massive march. March. I don't think so much pro-Israel as anti... pro-Palestine as anti-Israel.
Yeah.
I think it's anti-Israel, very anti-British as well.
Well, you know, things are happening around the country which are quite bizarre. Not least up in Scotland, I think, this week, we saw people actually demonstrating outside of Marks and Spencer's. Because it's a Jewish-owned organisation. Yeah.
There's a lot of anti-Semitism around there.
Yeah.
By the way, for four drinks, I had two martinis.
No, two.
Henrietta had two Bloody Marys. It was 105 quid. The 5 quid was because they had a bottle of water.
Jesus. You're joking.
Yeah.
So they charge you for fucking water.
Fucking 105 quid.
I suppose once you got to that point, there's not a lot of point in going.
Really caring.
I had one of those when I went to... have you ever been to the Tribeca Grill in New York?
Which is
Robert De Niro's place, right? And underneath the fucking the studio that he's got there as well. It's in the shadow, sort of what it was in the shadow of the World Trade Center. It's still very close down there. And I remember going there once and I asked for water to go with the meal. And they brought this bottle of Fiji water, which is that really expensive sort of yuppie type water.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
And it was in the middle of this kind of, you know, ice sculpture. And I didn't really think anything of it. So a fucking bill. $18 they charged for that. I was like, I mean, it's not even that expensive for a restaurant, really.
Yeah.
And I went, well, $18 for fucking water? You're having a laugh. Fuck off.
I did a story about that once on talk radio in the old days, where I read this thing.
The Tribeca Grill?
About Fiji water. I read about it. And then they did a list of other expensive waters. Yeah. So
There's this woman in South Africa who calls herself a water sommelier.
Oh yeah, and I'll do me a favour.
And so she suggested like four waters for me to buy.
Right.
So I've got the producer to buy these four waters. All of them, Fiji, really expensive.
Right.
£10 for a bottle or something. You know, so I ran through these expensive waters with this water sommelier. I said, "Don't you all notice hints of the Mediterranean
botanicals,
like a lemon essence?"
I do. Fuck off.
Well, I said, "Nah, it tastes like fucking water."
Yeah, right. I mean, Jesus. I mean, but I said this years ago. How amazing would it be if you had been either one, the person that invented wheelie bins, or the person that invented bottled fucking water? Because I remember, you might remember this. It was maybe before you moved over to the States, but it was about, I reckon it would have been around about sort of mid-80s, 85, 86, something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was the first time I saw somebody walking down the street in Manhattan with an empty, with a bottle of Evian water.
Yeah.
And it was like a mod, sort of supermodel type, I can't remember who it was.
And in those days you think, what the fuck are they, why have they got a bottle of water?
It's a bit weird. We're walking around with water. Well, you can fucking get water down anywhere you fucking go. And little did I know that this was going to become the phenomenon of the fucking century. You know, the same with wheelie bins. Imagine if you had said to somebody years ago, because, I mean, we're old enough to remember when the bin men came, they used to just sling the old fucking metal bin over their shoulder and chuck it in the fucking bin. And all that. And they had a special kind of language, didn't they, all around. And suddenly now everybody's got four fucking wheelie bins. Imagine selling those to people. It's just a fucking license to print money.
Well, there's a guy...
It's like the guy that invented the cat's eyes.
Well, no, the guy, that's exactly what I was going to say. He invented the cat's eyes and became the richest person in the
world. Wasn't he from Yorkshire or something?
Yeah, he became like a billionaire.
Right.
Every cat's eye, he gets a fucking cut of the action.
If you had invented wheelie bins, you'd be doing the same. You'd be sitting here going, fucking hell, we don't have to do the Thought Police podcast anymore. Christ almighty. Now, I have to say to people, because I have said this to Pooch, we are still looking at trying to do a show. It might end up just being here,
in
the horseshoe.
In this pub.
Because it might be too difficult to organise it at this late stage. But do let us know when you listen to this on Twitter whether you would think about coming, because it might be too late to do it before Christmas. Would it be worth doing it, say, after New Year? Very possibly.
You don't think we could get one in before Christmas?
Well, we might be able to, but I mean, it's not a lot of time.
Give it a sort of festive air.
No, but there's not a lot of time. I mean, people have got to buy the tickets, they've got to arrange to come. You know, I know it's a small number that come here, but still. We could do it, but I mean, I'd like to do it, but we'll just have to see.
Well, maybe because, see what people think.
Yeah.
It'd be good to do it before.
It would be lovely to do it before.
Have a bit of a piss up.
Because
you
know how fucking quickly this year has gone, and it's already now about, by the time people are listening to this, it will be nearly fucking November. This is Halloween.
Yeah.
And Halloween night, of course, is now something that people fucking dread, isn't it?
Where they
go, you know,
trick or treat or fuck off.
So you probably in your neck of the woods, you either have to give them gold money when they fucking come around, or just don't answer the door.
Yeah, I used to. People don't tend to come to our door anymore because we live.
There's a fucking surprise.
Because they hate us. No, because we live in a.
Because you keep telling them to fuck off.
We live in a cul-de-sac that people don't notice, thank Christ. But we lived in our old place down in Belsize.
Yeah.
We used to get kids all fucking night banging on the door. So we used to buy them.
I must admit, I've never really had it too bad in any place.
We used to get tons of them, or usually with their mums and dads behind them. And so, Henriette, you would go out and buy lots of these little bags of sweets.
Yeah.
But one year,
the one you're eating from.
Yeah. One year we forgot,
or
she forgot, and so this was during the cash, when cash was a bit more of a thing.
Yeah.
So every kid that came round, I sort of gave a kid a quid to.
Right.
And so you know they come around in bunches of five, and you know by the end of the fucking evening, I think it cost me about 75 fucking quid.
That's ridiculous. Because, I mean, I'm also surprised that they didn't tell you to go fuck yourself, because a pound now to kids, I mean, it's like people talk about, I mean, I haven't done it because my kids are older now, but people used to talk about, you know, putting a pound under the pillow for the tooth fairy. And apparently that's not acceptable anymore, because kids are like, fucking don't.
Well, I was like giving a tenner to their dads and things like that, so I'll give back to the kids. You know, and then looking, oh, there's only four of them.
No wonder there's so many of them coming round.
Yeah.
See that fucking old cunt there.
You go number 12, that wanker gives you money.
Gives you fucking money. That's right.
Probably it.
Jesus. What else do we need to talk about before we go? We've nearly finished. What else has been going on in the big wide world? I suppose we ought to talk about the football business, because that poor fucking Spanish guy who snogged that bird,
Luis Rubiales,
has now been banned from all football related activities for 3 years. What the fuck do they mean by that? And why have they banned him? I mean, he did something stupid. Shouldn't have done it. Can't he just fucking be happy with letting him lose his fucking job? He's lost his job. He hasn't got a fucking way of making any money because everybody thinks he's the biggest cunt alive. Right? Poor bastard. Now he isn't allowed to do any work in football for 3 years. Yeah. And then what?
It's a bit sort of woke and PC to go, what he did was terribly, terribly wrong.
But it wasn't very smart.
It wasn't a great thing to
do. But it wasn't the fucking world's
worst. As a bloke, you can't just go and snog a bird when she doesn't fucking want you to, or hasn't asked you to, or didn't have any idea.
Especially when you're on camera.
So he made a mistake, there's no doubt about that.
He was obviously shit
for it. But, you know, I can't get that fucking worked up about it.
No.
And yet this guy has been punished like he's a sort of serial rapist.
Oh, I don't think he raped her.
Yeah,
honestly, I mean, I'm sorry to
banned from football for 3 years. Yeah. Seems a bit odd.
Well, he's already lost his job. At the end of the day, you know, that's good enough for me. I don't think you need to actually punish him anymore because
he should have said sorry at a much earlier stage. I think it would have been.
I mean, he shouldn't have done it.
He didn't say sorry for a long time.
Yeah.
What he should have said is, and by the way, everybody knows. It's the World Cup final. He'd had a few drinks. That's the point.
Well, I think he should have said. He could tell that he'd had a few drinks by the way he was grabbing his crutch when scored a goal. Fuck me. But in front of the Queen of Denmark or something, wasn't it?
That it was. I think it was the Queen of Spain.
El Diablo.
He should have said, look, I had a few sherbets. Sorry about that. I shouldn't have done it.
And
I think it would have blown over. Instead, he fucking dug his heels.
A bit of a cunt.
So I was fucking pissed.
Yeah.
I should have.
Sorry, darling.
I was fucking pissed. You know what it's like? You go for tongue in. Yeah. She fucking wouldn't have it.
I thought she was up for it. Fucking hell. Got that fucking wrong.
I read the messages.
All right, Lewis.
I admit it. Yeah. I admit it.
All right, yeah.
But he should have. But he didn't, did he? He dug his heels in.
Yeah.
Didn't say sorry for too long. But that said, and no one is condoning what he did to that woman. But I think it's a bit over the top.
Oh, totally.
It's ridiculous. Totally.
I mean, also, and I'm not a forensic examiner or anything about these things, but when I looked at the footage of what happened, it looked a bit awkward, but she still had her arms around him while he was slogging her. It wasn't as if she suddenly recoiled in horror and just went, oh, you better not do that. But of course, the feminists will say, oh, well, that's because she really was traumatised by the event and didn't know what to do.
At first, she said there was nothing that she didn't mind at all.
There are plenty of Spanish women that I could suggest would have probably, and I'm not saying I've got personal knowledge of this, if you kissed them in a way that they didn't want you to, they'd give you a good fucking slap at the end of that.
Well, yeah, that would have been interesting at the end of the world. Fuck you,
the fucking dirty old cunt.
But I mean, 3 years banned from football, it just seems disproportionate to me.
It does.
Typical sort of Me Too overreaction.
And also, of course, the football world is just so politically correct now. You know, absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, I think we've come to the end of the podcast.
Sure have.
So it's probably time to say cheerio. I might get another drink though, since we're in the pub. You might have to go to work.
In a while.
You want to have one for the road?
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right, well, listen, anyway, for you lot, we'll try and work on a fucking date for a live show if we can. So do stand by your beds and be ready at all times to be summoned either to the Horseshoe or some other bed.
Yeah, indeed.
For our delectation. Anyway, don't do anything fucking stupid. We're the Thought Police. See you later.
We are.